Sie hören SBS German.
Juris Turmanis aus Lettland lebt seit 1949 in Australien. Er stieß 1966 zur Qantas als Flugbegleiter und wird uns jetzt davon erzählen. In einem Interview, das ich heute Mittag über Video mit ihm führen durfte. Ich bat ihn, uns erstmal in ein paar Sätzen von seiner Herkunft zu erzählen.
Ich war geboren in Stukums in Lettland auf 4. Oktober 1942 Jahr. I lived there for 2 years until we escaped from the Russians in 1944 by boat from a place called Ventspils, when it took us to Danzig. Now, this was only my mother, my grandfather, and grandmother, we three together. My father was in the army, and so therefore he couldn't desert and to join us. But he said he would come later if that was possible, and that wasn't possible.
Ihr Vater war also ein Soldat in der lettischen Armee, aber die waren natürlich Verbündete der Deutschen und sie kamen dann in ein deutsches Flüchtlingslager, weil die Russen vorrückten. Sie waren damals sehr klein, aber können Sie sich erinnern an das Kriegsende oder wissen Sie, wo Sie da waren, 8. Mai 1945?
Ja, Danzig. We then had to, the way we came was all sorts of things, we were on trains, walking in on backs of trucks, all sorts of things. And we headed through Poland on our way to Germany via Czechoslovakia, or the, it's a heist in Isntay, Sudetenland. And we arrived in Deutschland, in Bayern, in 1944, and the war was still on at the time, and we arrived there, and then we were able to, International Refugee Organization was organizing refugee camps, and we happened to be in 3 different camps until we then made our way to Australia via ship from Naples. In Italy.
Ist er jemals zurückgekommen?
Ja, das war 5 Jahre später, dass wenn er zurück zum Lettland hat gekommen.
Und ist er dann auch nach Australien ausgewandert, oder?
No, that was not possible. The Russians as such would not let anybody to leave Latvia or basically anywhere in Russia as such. The USSR, and so therefore he was there. But we didn't know what had happened to him until later, much later.
Wie schwierig war das für Ihre Mutter? How difficult was that for your mother?
Sehr schwierig. She was only, 24 years old, 25 years old, when she was had to look after a small child, 2 years old. And to bring him up until 1949 in Germany, when we left to come to Australia.
Ihre Mutter hat dann sehr hart gearbeitet in Sydney, in einer Fabrik, glaube ich, für Biscuits, also Arnott's Biscuits in Burwood, und hat jeden Cent gespart, um ein Haus zu kaufen dann schließlich.
Ja. But my mother was helped by my stepfather because my mother married to a Frenchman, and my father, once we also realized, he also remarried back in Latvia, no children there, and my mother didn't have any children with my stepfather.
Montagabend, wir sprechen mit Juris Turmanis, ein Lette, ausgewandert 1949 nach Australien als Kind. Und er hat bei Qantas gearbeitet als Flugbegleiter 36 Jahre lang und spricht Deutsch. Why do you speak German? Warum sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Warum? Ich hatte in Deutschland, wenn wir waren in den Lagern, habe ich für ein Jahr zum Schule gegangen. Ja, aber but before that, I had an accident and ended up in hospital with I fell three stories down and hit my head, and that was luck. I was lucky to be alive, of course. But as I went, the older kids put me up on top of a banister to slide down from the three stories down to the bottom, which is what they were doing. And unfortunately, as they pushed me up on top of there, because I couldn't climb up there on my own, I was too small, I was only 3 years old, I toppled over and fell down the stairs and hit my head. And it was, I was alive, but unconscious. And I was taken to hospital, of course. And I was perhaps unconscious for several months as a result of that. But luckily, I survived and had to remain in hospital for a while longer. Well, several months more, 2 or 3 months. And in that time is when I learnt my first German. And so it was interesting when I came home, my mother and my stepfather could not see me in the hospital because they thought it was not a good thing for the child to be upset to see his mother and then she would leave him and so on. So all that time I only spoken to in German, and I learnt enough German then when I came out, and that was a total surprise to my mother that day. And we actually lived in a place at the time where it was two-story tall, and so there were stairs that went upstairs and downstairs. And the thing they always remembered me saying was, unter oben, oben unter, oben unter. And that was when they first realized I spoke German.
Erstaunliche Geschichte. Sie haben dann in Sydney die ganz normalen Schulen durchlaufen und sind in den 60er Jahren an die Universität gegangen. Was haben Sie studiert?
Ich habe studiert Civil Engineering und habe nur für 2 Jahre das getan, getut. Wie sagt man das? Und dann habe ich 3 Jahre mit Economics studiert.
Und Sie haben dann allerlei Jobs verrichtet und ich glaube, einer davon war besonders exotisch, nämlich Jackaroo.
Ja, das habe ich für ein Jahr getan. But my mother was not very happy about that, because she said, look, you're going to university, you're doing all these things, and you're just going to be a Jackaroo. But of course, being a jackaroo was a step towards being a manager of a big property. So, she said, in those days, we children listened to what our parents told us they want when we had to do what she wanted. So I had to come back and go back to university. And so, but that was a wonderful experience of being a jackaroo. I've never forgotten that.
Was hat Ihnen besonders gefallen? What did you like particularly as a jackaroo?
Well, I liked the country. I liked the work that I was doing there. I mean, you might not think that's much fun, but decastrating sheep with one's teeth, pulling out the balls with one's teeth, so, and spitting them out for the dogs to eat.
Im Ernst? Are you serious?
Yeah, that's absolutely, yeah. You just cut and get down and spit it out.
Der nächste Job war dann wirklich...
Well, that was the thing that I enjoyed the most, of course. But that was the thing that really I remember very much as something quite different.
Ihre Community, Ihre Meinung. SBS German.
Der nächste Job war dann der, den Sie dann 36 Jahre lang ausübten, also Ihr eigentlicher Beruf, Ihre eigentliche Karriere, Flugbegleiter bei Qantas. Wie kamen Sie dazu?
Well, I was going with a, I was my girlfriend, she was an ANSET stewardess, hostess, and her brother was flying for TAA, which it was called then, and her other sister was also a hostess for TAA. So going out with them, I experienced their lifestyle, that they were just partying all the time, and they don't seem to be doing any work. So then I read in the Sydney Morning Herald, there was an advertisement for flight stewards for Qantas. And I saw this chap in a uniform with Big Ben in London behind him, and they were asking for stewards to come. So I applied for the job and I got it. And so then I went off to fly, but I didn't tell my mother anything about this until the night before I was having to go to do my training the next day. And she was horrified, absolutely horrified, because, you see, she said, "You're going to become a servant. Is that right?" I said, "Well, I guess so." She said, "What are my friends and everyone else going to think of that? Especially since back in Latvia, we had 20, 30 servants. We had plenty where we were, you know. So, and now you're going to become a servant. That's going to be a big embarrassment to me." And they went on, and I just... And they said, "All right, you're not going to be allowed to wear that uniform in this house." I said, "Okay, I'll leave." But of course, that didn't happen. But they were horrified. After 6 months, though, while I was flying, I was able to go and visit relatives around the world. And from then on, my mother was absolutely delighted. She thought that was wonderful, that was the opportunity that Qantas gave me.
War Qantas damals eine Frauendomäne, Flugbegleiterin?
Gar nicht. Kann ich nicht sagen, gar nicht, weil da war nur ein Mädchen auf dem Flug. She was a hostess. She was not a stewardess. She was a hostess for in case we had women's problems as such, which never ever occurred. But it was nice to have at least one girl. It was an all-male airline, actually. And not until later on it became 50-50 or thereabouts when equal opportunity was brought in many, many years later.
Ah, das ist interessant. Ich dachte, es sei gerade umgekehrt gewesen, dass am Anfang sehr viele Frauen Flugbegleiterinnen waren und nur sehr, sehr wenig Männer. Und Sie sagen, es war genau umgekehrt.
Ja, umgekehrt. It, that's why I didn't know of this job anyway, because having gone out with a stewardess on Ansett and that, I thought they were all girls. Everything was girls. And then when I saw this advertisement, I couldn't believe it. They were looking for stewards, not girls, because they were virtually an all-male crew.
Wo sind Sie hingeflogen? Was waren Ihre Destinationen?
Über alles. Über ganzes Welt. All over the world, including, of course, Deutschland.
Hatten Sie Lieblingsdestinationen?
Hab ich was, bitte?
Did you have your favorite destinations?
Ah, it was our favorite. I thought you went, "Have I got girlfriends all over the world?" Well, I'd say yes to that question. I wasn't married at the time. What was my favorite destination? Actually, there were quite a few I enjoyed as much as each other. I would say Tahiti was one of them, places like that in the South Pacific, Honolulu, San Francisco. I mean, you name, I really enjoyed them. Singapore, London. But the places, why, for instance, Singapore I enjoyed so much, because I got to know a lot of, I became friendly with a lot of people, and therefore it was attractive for me to go and visit them all the time. And so either the attraction was the people I got to know there, or it was the place. Like, you can imagine what Papeete in Tahiti would be like, you know. And in fact, there, in those days, we had 7 days while we waited for the next aircraft to come through. So it was just unbelievable.
paradiesische Zustände schon fast. Glauben Sie, dass das heute ganz anders ist? Ist Flugbegleiter heute ein Job wie jeder andere, nicht mehr so attraktiv?
Ach ja, ja, es ist nicht so attraktiv mehr. Because people do not have time off at these various places. The most they would have maybe is 2 days, maybe even up to 3 days, but that's it. Well, and of course they're not stopping in so many places as we did because we had to refuel. And when you stopped somewhere, then you got off and a new crew took over and so on. And we had trips to London which took up to 23 days to get to London and back. Whereas now, today, I think it's a matter of about 4 or 5 days. So because they stop off only, where we were flying was like what they call the milk run, because you stopped off bang, 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 bang until you got to London. And so it was to New York or to any other place. So that is definitely not, it's very tiring, must be very tiring for the people today. But I still suggest to them, have a go. It's a wonderful way of life, although the pressures are so much greater than they were when I was flying.
Sie haben das fast 4 Jahrzehnte lang gemacht. Hatten Sie eine Lieblingskabine, First Business Economy?
Not really, because you see, I started, of course, everyone starts in economy. And then when I started, there was only first class and economy class. There was no anything else in between. That's back in 1966. It was actually, Qantas was the first airline to introduce business class, as far as I understand. And Qantas is the second oldest international airline. KLM is the first, and then comes Qantas. But now I would say I actually didn't as such serve in first class because I jumped rank. I started off as a flight steward, then went to senior steward. And the next would be to go in those days to work would have been the chief steward who worked in the first class. Although I did work in first class in the galley, but not out in the cabin. I was working in the galley in first class, but in the cabin I was in economy, and then I became from senior steward I didn't go to chief steward. I went straight up to flight service director, which was the very top, which is the position where you are liaising between the captain and the passengers, and you're in the middle, and you're organising the whole cabin as such.
Und bezahlt werden ja Flugbegleiter nicht dafür, dass sie das Essen servieren, sondern dass sie vor allem in Notfällen genau wissen, wie sie zu reagieren haben und auch mit schwierigen Passagieren korrekt umgehen. Das ist ja auch nicht so einfach, stelle ich mir vor. Und früher vielleicht noch mehr als heute. Ich nenne das Stichwort Alkohol.
In those days, people in economy class had to pay for their drinks. And also, I think when business class came in at first, no, they didn't. Economy class, they all had to pay for their drinks. First class, of course, was free. And so therefore, the problem with alcohol was not really a problem because people, you controlled the amount of drink that they had. Well, you still do control that because when someone becomes a little too drunk, and they stop serving them the drinks, irrespective of who they are, whatever. So, but I always took the attitude of, if there were some problems in that, to get straight onto the problem straight away and not to try and avoid it. For instance, when we had, I did have one experience of a Australian rugby league team going overseas to play in England, and they were starting to get, because actually in those days they had to pay for it, but because they were Australian, a team representing Australia, my decision was to give them free drinks. So I was in control of that cabin, I was giving them free drinks. However, they started to become a little too rowdy or whatever, And I said to the manager of the team, I said, look, I'm only too happy to keep serving you guys drinks and keeping you happy and all that, but they've got to, they have to start to behave themselves because they were not prepared. So, you know, the thing was you had to stop it before it got out of hand, anything, every time. And it could be people, not just necessarily because of alcohol, it could be other things as well. But you never know what is behind what their story is. They may have some mental problems, or they may have drugs, or they may have personal tragedy in family, things like that. So, you know, you have to first assess what is causing the problem and then handle it in that, you know, to handle that in different ways.
Ja, und können Sie heute gut schlafen? Weil ein Problem bei Leuten, die in Flugzeugen arbeiten, ist ja dieser dauernde Jetlag.
Niemals hatte ich diesen Problem. I couldn't sleep standing up. And that's what I learned from flying. The fact is, because we would have a certain amount of time off on the aeroplane to sit down at first, but then later on in the jumbo and so on, we had beds in which we could sleep in the tail of the aircraft. And you maximize the amount of sleep you had. If I had half an hour off, I would go to sleep like that and wake up 1 or 2 minutes before I was supposed to be back on again without being able to be stopped. Now, I could sleep hanging up in the coat hanger, with a coat hanger here, standing up anytime, every time. So not a problem.
Interessant. Und haben Sie jemals ausgerechnet, wie viele Flugkilometer Sie eigentlich geflogen sind oder wie viele Flugstunden?
Nein, habe ich nicht. Nein, ich weiß nicht. Times I have flown to the moon and back. I don't know. But I'm sure it's been a few times.
Juris Turmanis, vielen Dank für dieses Interview.
It's my pleasure. Es ist, ich bin sehr, wie sagt man das auf Deutsch, sehr froh, dass Sie haben mir invited zu diesem Interview.
Liken, teilen und kommentieren Sie unsere Inhalte bei facebook.com/sbsgerman.